Tumayo po tayong lahat as we read God's word through responsive reading. Buksan po natin ang ating Biblia sa Judas, Kabanata 1, Talata 1 hanggang 16. Babasahin po natin ito sa Magandang Balita, Biblia. Matatagpuan ang passage na ito sa page 10 ng ating bulletin, or you can read along the screen. Lahat po ng mga naka-underline ang na talata ay babasahin ng kongregasyon. Mula kay Judas, lingkod ni Jesucristo at kapatid ni Santiago, para sa mga tinawag ng Diyos, mga namumuhay sa pag-ibig ng Diyos Ama at iniingatan ni Jesucristo. Mga minamahal, ang nais ko sanang isulat sa inyo ay tungkol sa kaligtasan na tinatamasa nating lahat. Ngunit nakita ko ang kailangan isulat sa inyo ay isang panawagan na inyong ipaglaban ang pananampalatayang ipinagkaloob minsan at magpakailanman sa mga banal. Kahit na alam na ninyo ang lahat ng ito, nais ko pa rin ipaalala sa inyo na matapos iligtas ng Panginoon ang bansang Israel sa lupain ng Ehipto, pinuksa niya ang mga taong hindi nananalig sa Kanya. Alalahanin din nyo na ang Sodoma at Gomora at ang mga karatig lungsod ay nalulong sa kahalayaan at di likas na pagnanasa ng laman. Kaya't sila ay pinarusahan sa apoy na hindi namamatay bilang babala sa lahat. Kahit si Miguel na pinuno ng mga anghel na makipagtalo siya sa Diablo tungkol sa bangkay ni Moises ay hindi nangahas gumanti ng pagpalapastangan ng tanging sinabi niya ay parusahan kanawa ng Panginoon. Kakilakilabot ang sasapitin nila sapagkat sumunod sila sa halimbawa ni Cain. Tulad ni Balaam, hindi sila nag-atubiling gumawa ng kamalian dahil lamang sa salapi. Nagimagsik silang tulad ni Korah, kaya't sila'y namatay din katulad niya. Sila'y mga alon sa dagat na ang bula ay ang kanilang mga gawang kahihiya-hiya, mga ligaw na bituin na nakalaan sa kadiliman magpakailanman. Upang hatulan ang lahat, paparusahan niya ang lahat na ayaw kumilala sa Diyos dahil sa kanila mga kasamaan at paglapastangan sa Diyos. Mga kaibigan, ito ang salita ng Diyos. Maaari na po kayo maupo.
Magandang gabi po sa lahat, and welcome once again sa gathering ng CrossFit Church of Dubai. Ako po si James Brillantes at naglilingkod bilang isa sa mga miyembro ng iglesyang ito. Tonight is a great privilege for us, as always, to study yung salita ng Panginoon. At sa gabi pong ito, tayo po ay magsisimula sa bagong pag-aaral sa aklat ng ni Jude o ni Judas, which we entitled Contend for the One True Faith. And we were going to study this for the next two Fridays. Tonight we were going to study the verses 1 to 16. And next Friday we will tackle yung verses 17 to 25. Now let me give you a short background patungkol sa mamang ito. Ang author po ng book natin ay si Jude, or kanina nabasa natin, Judas, which is a very common name sa mga panahon nila. Sinulat ito nung approximately nung panahon ng 60 AD, and according to some theologians, this book was probably the source ni Peter nung sinulat niya yung 2 Peter, which it tells us the same thing and the same content wherein they are addressing yung issue ng mga false teachers. They are contending for the one true faith. And nakikita din natin na yung recipient ng letter na ito is a mixture ng mga Hudyo tsaka mga Hintil. Does anyone of us here know to how to play yung tinatawag natin na chess? Ay, hindi po yung cheese na kinakain. Yung chess po. Board game. Is anyone? Nung high school po ako ay medyo nahilig po ako sa larong ito. And playing this game requires focus and being actively engaged sa laro. Because the moment that you snap out o mawala yung focus mo sa larong ito, your defense will easily stumble. And the worst thing that will happen is may hirapan ka sa pag-recuperate o pag-balik ng iyong depensa at opensa. And sometimes it leads to defeat, or tinatawag natin na checkmate. Well, the goal of this game is to defend the king. In like manner, Jude urges believers to defend our King, Jesus. This is not a suggestion, but an expectation sa lahat ng mga mananampalataya. It is my prayer tonight that as we go through sa librong ito, that we would grow in our understanding of the true gospel. That we would learn to discern yung authentic, yung tunay na teacher of the word from a synthetic one, or yung fake. And third one is that we would have an urgency to protect the church gospel, or gospel's purity and unity. Our main point tonight is this: the church is called to defend her gospel purity and unity. And how are we going to do this? I have divided this into three points or three parts. Una, verses 1 to 4, appeal to contend for the faith. Verses 5 to 7, reminder of God's judgment in the past. And verses 8 to 16, identity and condemnation of false teachers. Let's start with point 1, appeal to contend for the faith. Before we discuss and go through some important part, let us go deeper and know kung sino yung mamang ito. Verse 1, we read, Jude, a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ and brother of James. Like we said, yung pangalan ng mamang ito ay si Jude, or Judas, which is yung Jude is a pen name or nickname na ginamit niya to separate himself, or yung identity niya, sa kay Judas Iscariot. Alam natin kung sino si Judas Iscariot, hindi po ba? The one who betrayed Jesus. He also identifies himself as a servant or a slave of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. This is quite amazing kasi alam natin kung sino yung sinasabi niya dito na kapatid niya na si James. Apart that from the truth that he is the one who wrote yung libro na James, he is also known as the leader ng Church ng Jerusalem. James as we know, is a half-brother of Jesus. May kita po natin yan in Mark 6, verse 3. Nakasabi dyan, is it not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joses and Judas, which is yung author ngayon ng libro na inaaral natin, and Simon? And are not his sisters or here with us? And they took offense of him. What makes this more amazing is that Jude calls himself as a servant, or sa Greek, it means doulos, or a bondservant, or a slave. So, hindi niya in-identify directly yung sarili niya as a brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Siguro, if most of us, kung tayo ay nasa isang klase, and our teacher would ask us na, okay, could you introduce yourself? Siguro yung una sasabihin niya, ay, ako po si James, at kapatid ko po si Kristo. And this is quite amazing yung sinabi ito ng mamang ito, because we all know from the gospel account that yung mamang ito is the most fierciest of the most fierciest na nag-oppose sa kanyang kapatid na si Jesucristo during sa kanyang earthly ministry. And we can read that in John 7 verses 3 to 4 when they taunted Jesus, you want to be known, then show yourself. He did it out of unbelief. And even in Mark 3, verses 31 to 35, makikita natin dyan, mababasa natin, when Jesus Christ went back to his home at Capernaum, and he was teaching sa kanyang bahay, si Mary, kasama yung kanyang mga kapatid, kasama yung mamang ito, went there, and they wished to talk to him, talk to Jesus, with the purpose, they want to stop Jesus' ministry and bring him home. Kasi they thought, they were claiming that Jesus is out of his mind. We also know na yung conversion ni Jude kasama yung ibang mga kapatid came after ng resurrection ni Jesus Christ. And the point na he identified himself as a servant, as a slave, is not something na kinakahiya niya. But it is out of reverence, it is out of worship, na yung half-brother niya is the Lord, the God, the deity. That is an act of worship na sinabi niya, I am a bond servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. The man, a man, kung saan noon nangunguna to oppose his brother, is the one now saying to us through this book that we should contend for the faith. If there is any man who deeply understands that no physical, familial relationship or familiarity of Jesus could save anyone from an angry God, ito yung mamang ito. Isa ito sa mga mamang ito. A half-brother of Jesus who lived with, heard, and saw Jesus up close. Yet, the same as we are, this man needs also to be saved by grace through faith against sa kanyang sarili, so that he can be truly part of the family of God. Friends, if we think that knowing Jesus is enough for us to be saved, then we are doomed. No theological degree or deeds can make us right with God. Because God must act first. He must act first in changing our hearts, our heart of stone into a heart of flesh. Then therefore, by that, in doing that, we can be truly part ng kanyang family. This is how Jude describing yung mga recipients sa kanyang mga ng kanyang liham nito. Makikita natin, he said, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. Called, which means it is an invitation, it is a summon. It is like a throne room kung saan yung hari nakaupo, which is si King Jesus or yung Panginoon, sitting and summoning us to himself. It is an invitation to be part of his kingdom. wherein God is speaking to us powerfully through sa kanyang salita. And by that, sabi ni Jude, we are beloved because we have that special relationship. And not only that, but he is pointing to us that we are kept. That Christ finished work on the cross. It didn't just end there, but Christ is doing his ministry right here and right now, keeping us as our great high priest. And we, that very thing is an assurance to all of us ng ating salvation. May kita natin, o mababasa natin in Romans 8:30, sinabi ni Paul dito, and those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. That's the assurance that we have sa ating Panginoon. Verse 2, he says, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Jude, being a good pastor, expresses deep love, his compassion and concern para sa mga mananampalatayang ito who are experiencing hard times or perhaps hurtful times because of the issues that they are experiencing. Ano yung issue na to? Makikita natin yan in verse 3, which is the purpose of bakit sinulat ito ni Jude. Sabi niya dyan, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. We can see here na yung first intention ni Jude was to write something about their common faith. He wants to encourage them. But upon discerning na meron siyang mas kailangan i-address, he changed yung kanyang purpose in writing. He is appealing to them, makikita natin, that to contend for the one true faith. He appeals and urges yung mga believers na to extend more effort to be active in defeating or defending the faith. That is to agonize. It is an active work of reasoning or explaining yung ating objective truth of who God is, ano yung kasalanan, ano yung church, ano yung scripture. That's the very thing that he is saying to defend. So these are the objective truth that is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, who is Christ, is our cornerstone, or the cornerstone. Nakikita natin yan in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 20. This is what he meant by saying na faith that was once and for all. It is all completed, embodied by our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the gospel, right? Pag sinabi natin gospel is the good news about Jesus that leads us to salvation. That this is very essential not only for sa kanyang audience, but to every believers in every generation, in every spectrum ng mundong ito. We are to defend yung gospel. Why? Because even in this present generation, the gospel is heavily attacked. It is heavily twisted, distorted by others. And imagine if this sets of truth or the gospel is twisted or distorted or lost. Ang magiging problema natin dito ay hindi lang yung maling idea. But the main problem here would be yung maling kalagayan, yung kalalagyan ng ating paniniwala. And one of the prime example is yung matatawag natin ng mga counterfeit gospels or fake or twisted gospels. Yung problema nito, the problem of these is that they tell certain truth but not all the truth. They would say something true about God, they would say something true about Christ, but in the other hand, left out something. So yung result ito is a misplaced trust. Si Trevin Walks sa kanyang blog sa TGC website noong 2011, and he was writing about sa kanyang libro na Counterfeit Gospel. Meron si Pastor Alvin, and if you are interested, you could approach him and borrow yung libro na yan. It says, sabi niya dito, when it comes to the gospel, the best way to spot a counterfeit gospel is to know the biblical gospel. Not only to master it sa ating utak in a cerebral objective sense, but to be captured by the beauty of what God has done for us in Christ. Some of the counterfeit gospel na nilagay niya sa kanyang libro is yung tinatawag niya therapeutic gospel. Yung problema nito is this gospel is watering down yung seriousness ng kasalanan. Rather, they see yung kasalanan o yung sin as an obstacle na para maging masaya tayo. It's just filling up something for us to be happy. They would then present Christ as someone who would just patch up yung void ng puso natin and okay na, magiging masaya ka. Just accept Christ. Everything will be okay. The second thing is yung tinatawag niya na moralistic gospel, which is Christ is replaced by the idea that doing good or praying, going to church, discipling, is enough for us to be saved. I want us to notice, once again, yung task of defending. Yung task na sinasabi dito ni Jude was not just given to the elders. The task of defending is not just laid on the shoulder of our elders, but it is the task of every Christian, of every believer na part ng isang iglesia. We all have yung responsibilidad or yung responsibility to defend the gospel. It's whether sa loob ng ating bahay, sa CG, even here, sa pulpit na to, we have that kind of responsibility, mga kapatid. Why? Look at verse 4. Sabi niya, for certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who perverted the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. He gives us the reason there. Yung propositional na four. Sabi niya, because ungodly people have crept in unnoticed. They are inside the community of the believers. They are part ng loob na, sa loob ng iglesia. They act, they might speak, they might know yung language, they might behave like a Christian for some time, so they can be part, they can win our trust. They could be part of the community. But their purpose is to distract yung work ng gospel. They want to destroy the unity ng isang iglesia. And that is the very thing that troubled sa kay Jude. And this is a hard truth, mga kapatid, hindi po ba? Maybe some of them have built yung relationship sa mga mamang ito na sinasabi ni Jude. Maybe some of them shared meal with them. with these false teachers. Imagine the effect of this sa isang iglesia. The question is it God was caught unaware sa bagay na ito? Is He surprised sa bagay na ito? Definitely don't, mga kapatid. That's why sinabi ni Jude dyan, they were designated for condemnation. Like sa mga examples na titingnan natin dito mamaya. Here, Jude gives us the two major sin pattern ng mga false teachers ito. Una, he said that they pervert yung grace na Panginoon and use it into an act of sensuality. They use yung freedom na sinasabi nila, since you are free already, then you can do anything that you want. You can defile your body and be subject sa mga bagay na ito. And that's okay. Yan yung kiniklaim nila. As long as we think that we are right with God, it will not do any difference kahit anong kasalanan pa yung gawin natin sa ating katawan. And that is heresy. And that heretic teaching still exists kahit sa mga panahon ito. It camouflages yung natawag natin sa theme na Christian love. Na kahit sobrang sama at nagpapakalunod na yung ating kapwa o kapatiran sa kasalanan, we will not call them out. Instead, we should love them. We should pursue them. We will not point them sa kanilang mga kasalanan. Masasaktan siya. And we would say, God loves you. Remember na God, that love covers all multitude of sin. The problem here, about that, we cannot just pick yung isang character na Panginoon and we will say that this is God. This is absolutely God. We will just pick that love and eto na siya. This defines Him already. No, we have the objective truth. We have the Word na nagsasabi sa atin kung sino yung Panginoon. We need to have a right and complete understanding of Him so that we would have a right and proper or properly informed na worship. Right theology results or inform yung right worship natin at living. And this is inseparable. Why is it essential? Because later on, this will lead others to deny our Lord Jesus Christ, our Master, our Lord. Makikita natin yung mga false teachers ito. Possessing wrong understanding about God leads them to deny yung authority, yung sovereignty ng Panginoon. They would claim that He is just a mere man. So their lives are not marked with worship and no submission to Christ at all. They live a life without any recognition sa ating Panginoon. Mga kapatid, in what ways na yung buhay natin are not marked with submission sa ating Panginoon? Sa Kanyang Lordship, sa Kanyang authority. In what ways that our lack of understanding kung sino yung Panginoon sa Kanyang holiness reflects ating mga lifestyle, which contradicts sa ating profession of faith? Let us confess this sin and be warned of God's judgment, which is yung point number two natin. A reminder of God's judgment in the past. In verse 5, sabi niya, now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it. After binigay ni Jude yung reason, kung bakit niya sinulat yung liham na ito, he then expressed his desire. I want to remind you. He desires for these beloved believers to remember and have a careful thought sa mga examples ng judgment ng Panginoon from the past. Jude is a faithful slave of Christ, deeply understand yung ministry na ito of reminding. Knowing that yung mga believer na ito are fed by false teachers, by false doctrines, and in danger of abandoning yung kanilang faith, he pointed out three examples dito. Makikita natin yung first, sabi niya, example of Egypt. In verse 5b, sabi niya, then Jesus, who saved the people out of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. That is how he began yung recalling yung history, yung biblical history na redemption. Said here, he explicitly mentioned yung name ni Jesus or Lord in other translation as the one who saved Israelites out of Egypt. Kung ikaw yung nasa panahong iyon and you are about to believe yung mga false teachers ito, Jude is saying to them, bro, look at this. Jesus is the one na nag-save ng mga Israelites na ito out from the slavery. He is the great I am na nakausap ni Moses sa burning bush. He is the great I am who gave terror sa may Egypt for them, for these people, the Israelite, para ma-deliver sila from the band of slavery. He's saying to remember yung bagay na ito. And the example here of the first generation na mga Israelite who left Egypt, they grumble to God and refuse yung command ng Panginoon for them to inherit or to go possess yung land. And as a response, God lead them back to the wilderness and allow them to perish there. So, kapatid, to choose not to believe in Jesus leads one not only to physical death, but sa ating eternal condemnation. And yung wilderness na experience nila is a pointer sa bagay na yan. That unbelief, unwilling to believe Christ, who Christ is, deserves condemnation. Makikita natin in Hebrews 13, verse 16 to 19. And verse 19 sabi niya, so we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. But let us not presume na dahil we are a member ng iglesyang ito, ay automatic nagtas na tayo. Let us not presume na kung ang tatay o nanay mo ay faithful na member sa iglesyang ito or an elder or a CG leader, and we are saved. I said, we need to strive and to remember and reminding, pointing one another to Jesus. Because only those whom he called and genuinely believe will truly inherit yung kingdom na Panginoon. How we would know that we are in faith? Paul gives us wisdom dito. Sa 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5, sabi niya, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourself. But you do not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test. The second example na makikita natin dito is in verse 6. Sabi niya dito, and the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Yung example ng mga rebellious na mga angel na ito gives us the idea of the finality ng judgment ng Panginoon. By using this, Jude is telling us that if the judgment for these rebellious angels is sure, how much more How much sure to those who rebel and deny our Lord Jesus Christ. You can see in Revelation 20:15, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. The third example is the Sodom and Gomorrah and its surrounding cities. Nakita natin in verse 7. So it's just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulge in sexual immorality and pursue a natural desire, serve an example of undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. So as unbelief and rebellion are punished, so is sexual immorality, homosexuality, sex offender. The judgment that had happened to Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19:24, that God rained Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire, illustrates yung earthly judgment na Panginoon. That points to eternal judgment in hell. A judgment, a kind of judgment that cannot end and cannot be quenched. But this is how serious God is sa kasalanan. One day, sisingilin niya tayo. He would deal with sin and the sinners. What sin do you think that you need to confess? What are the things, mga kasalanan, that we are still enjoying with na hindi pa natin na-confess sa ating mga kapatiran? Sa ating mga youth, is there any rebellion sa mga puso natin, puso ninyo, against inyong mga magulang? Are we indulging sa mga sexual immoral act, watching pornography, meditating it sa ating mga puso, mga isipan? After, this is a good reminder for us sa gabing ito that we should not take light yung ministry of reminding and pointing each other to Jesus. Because what is at stake is the soul of our brothers and sisters. How are we going to do this? Let us open scripture together. Point, kung ikaw ay magulang, spend time with your kids at night, teaching them paano basahin, meditate yung scripture. Pray with them. Model to them. Point them to Jesus Christ. The third and last point we can see here, the identity and condemnation of the false teachers, which covers 8 to 16. See, Tim Challis, who is a Canadian Reformed theologian and a blogger then, being curious and hearing sa mga several times yung ginagamit yung counterfeit na money or fake money sa mga illustrations sa sermon na tulad nito. Having a curious mind, he went to a Canadian bank and asking yung mga banker or federal agents, sabi niya, is it true na yung mga federal agents enable for them to identify yung counterfeit na money? What they do is they study yung real na pera. And having that kind of curiosity and maybe skeptic din siya sa bagay na yan, he found out paano yung ginagawa ng mga federal agents. And it's true. What they do is they study, meditate, see, they tilt, look in and look through sa tunay na pera. They were studying yung real na money so that they could identify yung fake. We can see here, after ni Jude ni-urge or nag-appeal siya sa mga believers na to, to contend for the one true faith, reminding them of the real faith. He goes now in saying that, look, ito ngayon yung itsura ng mga false teachers. In verse 8, ito yung sabi niya, yet, in like manner, these people. So then in the same way, this is how this false teacher behaved. Tanya, relying on their dreams, they defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. False teachers do not believe in the word of God. Rather, they believe na yung kanilang mga dreams are superior kaysa sa salita ng Diyos. That their subjective feelings, yung emotions nila, is more reliable sa salita ng Panginoon. But Jeremiah 17 verse 9 tells us a different thing. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand this? Thomas stated, it's not righteous, no, not one. How could a dream of a sinful man having a sick heart could be reliable? Perhaps some of us here have experienced and encountered this. Na sinasabi na, oh ano, talagang, ito talaga yung napaniginipan ko. At nagkatotoo. Maybe this is the sign na binigay ng Panginoon for me to pursue yung bagay na to. Let us be reminded, mga kapatid, that bilang mga Kristiyano, we can know God's will, we can know yung will ng Panginoon only through His Word. And it always points us sa kanyang anak na si Jesus Cristo. He revealed Himself completely sa kanyang salita. And to rely on dreams is an attack to the sufficiency of God's Word and of God Himself. You are telling the Lord, you are not enough. We can see the 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. Sabi ni Paul sa Timothy, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Look at the effect ng maling paniniwala na ito ng mga false teachers. Because they relying on their dreams as the most objective para sa kanila rather than sa salita ng Panginoon, they defile them, their flesh. They are living in a sensual and lustful life like Sodom and Gomorrah. Then leads them to reject your authority. Kami ang tama dito at mali yung sinasabi ng Diyos mo. Mali yung sinasabi ng Biblia mo. Like Israelites, who rejected Christ in the wilderness and leads them to slander your glorious ones. And most likely, the glorious ones ito refers sa mga angels. Most of the time, makikita natin sa Biblia, yung angels are the messenger of God. And to attack yung mga glorious ones ito, they are attacking directly yung Panginoon. To support his argument, knowing and fully aware na yung kanyang mga recipient are exposed to Jewish tradition o tinatawag natin na pseudographical na books. This is not inspired, but Jude used this for teaching purpose. Sinabi niya in verse 9, but when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce blasphemies or slander or curse, judgment, but instead said, the Lord rebuke you. So if Michael, who's possessing the great power, who has authority, did not rebuke Satan, is that acknowledge God's authority. These false teachers, ay hindi, kabaliktaran yung kanilang ginagawa. They slander, they speak against blasphemous words sa Panginoon, and even sa mga glorious ones. Put it to the context ng ating church. God has appointed us leaders. We have our elders. But friends, do we respect the authority that God has appointed and blessed us with? To be more specific, do we, as a congregation, respect ang authority ng ating mga elders? Do we have a high regard para sa kanila? In verse 10, we can see the reason bakit nila ginagawa nito. Sabi in verse 10, but these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. So it tells us the reason. Yung mga false teachers to, yung mga ungodly teachers na ito, blaspheme because they are unregenerated. They are not real Christians. Their eyes are filled with or sa truth. Ang issue dito is not something that they do not understand. Yes, they can understand intellectually. They can do good. The thing is, they do not understand the word of God. Because they are spiritually dead. Even in Romans 1:24, he would say, we could read there that saying na yung mga false o yung mga deprived, yung mga sinful men ito, they knew God yet do not honor Him because their heart is darkened, because their eyes is veiled from the truth. This man, these people are spiritually dead. Like animals, they rely sa nilang mga nararamdaman. They rely to the impulse or dictates na kanilang mga katawan. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14 says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 11, sabi ni Jude, woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain, abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error, and perish in Korah's rebellion. Jude uttered judgment to these false teachers who infiltrated the church because of their evil motives. They do not have love for the people of God. They do not have love for the congregation, but their motive is for their own selves. I mean, they are murderers, like Cain. They walk in the way of Cain. We know who Cain is, hindi po ba? He murdered his brother Abel. And Cain, because of his great anger against kanyang kapatid, that leads sa kanyang pagpatay sa kanya. But in verse 7, we could see kung ano yung tunay na reason kung bakit ginawa iyon ni Cain. In Genesis chapter 4 verse 7, makikita natin that because, it gives us the reason, because he is evil. Not because sa offering na binigay nila, na nag-jealous siya, but because by nature, this man is evil. His anger caused him to murder Abel. And in like manner, Cain serves as a type of these false teachers because of their hate sa katotohanan. These false teachers hate to tell the truth, hate the word of God that leads others to death. We can see a lot of churches right now, great churches, well-known churches, but do not preach the gospel. First John 3:11-12. In verse 12 it says, "We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one, and murdered his brother. And why he did murder him? Because his own deeds were evil, and his brother's righteous." Second example na binigay sa atin ni Jude dito is the example of Balaam. Balaam is a hired prophet, a wicked one, was hired by Balak to curse Israel. But what makes this man more evil and greedy for money is this. When he tempted Israel to sin, he sent a pagan woman seducing yung mga alalakihan sa yung mga Israelites to commit sexually immoral things and even lead them to worship idols. Balaam is a type of these false teachers who love money or loves money. And these false teachers like Balaam, they would do everything to lead others to sin just for their own profit. We could hear, maybe we have heard, yung lines na, "Give and you'll be blessed." The more you give, mas dadami yung pera mo. Jesus gives us a warning sa mga mamang ito. Jesus teach us and lead us or said so Luke 17 verses 1 and 2, sinabi niya sa kanyang mga disciples, "Temptation to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, that he should cause one of these little ones to sin, than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin." James 1, verse 3, sinasabi niya, "Not many of you should become teachers." For what reason? "For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." God is serious about this. The third example na binigay niya dito is yung rebellion ni Korah, which is, it depicts yung greediness for authority. Korah was not contented sa kanyang position, but he gathered a numbers of Levites, 250, to oppose the authority of Moses and Aaron, with an argument na pare-pareho tayo lahat dito, and who are you to lead us sa bagay nito? Korah's rebellion is not just against God's appointed leaders, but rebellion against God. In verse 12, 13, makikita natin kung paano dinescribe ni Jude yung mga false teachers ato. Sinabi niya, "These are the hidden rifts at your love feast, as they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by the wind, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. Wild waves of sea casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom gloom of utter darkness has been reserved for." This is the metaphor na ginamit ni Jude dito to describe the destructive effect ng mga false teachers dito. Because of their wrong motive, they infiltrated yung church for their and do a destructive things like a hidden rifts who sunk yung isang ship kung masagi dito. They disrupt the unity, the growth of the church. They disregard yung ordinance ng Lord's Supper pretending to be part of the family, but partaking without reverence and worship in their heart. They undermine the true meaning ng bagay na ito, ng ordinance na ito. Remember, next week, we will partake ang natawag natin na communion or Lord's Supper. And this is one of the ordinances na binigay sa atin ng Diyos, na ipinasa niya sa atin through the apostles. And one of the na ordinances na binigay niya sa atin, yung isa pa is yung baptism. Yung mga false teachers na ito, they give not high regard sa bagay na ito. Yung manner of joining para sa mga mamang ito was an act of mockery. They serve or they pretend to be part ng isang iglesia, pretending na they are reconciled with God, but the truth is they are not. Look at the warning na binigay ni Paul sa unang Korinto chapter 11 verse 29. Sabi niya, sapagkat ang sino mang kumain at uminom nang hindi kinikilala ang kalagahan ng katawan ng Panginoon ay kumakain at umiinom ng katulan laban sa kanya sarili. In addition, Jude described them as shepherds. He acknowledged them or describes them as shepherds. That somehow, yung mga false teachers ito have gained yung possession of eldership role sa isang iglesia. But instead of feeding yung kanilang mga sheep and point to the real shepherd, what they do is they use yung iglesia for their own gain without considering yung weight of the office. They promise to give spiritual refreshment, but their words cannot quench the thirst. It cannot quench yung thirst ng isang tao, yung soul ng isang tao. They are fruitless, sabi niya. Do not bear spiritual fruit sa buhay ng mga miyembro, because they are spiritually dead. Their words are empty, like a foam produced by the waves of the sea. It does not edify or help others. They are like wandering stars. They do not provide your direction for others. But notice how Jude ends his statement here. For whom the utter darkness has been reserved. Jude is saying that like this wandering star, one day they will be judged. They will be swallowed by the gloomy darkness. These are the traits ng mga false teachers, and we see yung danger na kanilang dinadala if they possess or they will be part or be given an opportunity to hold the office of eldership. Notice now how serious are the qualifications ng isang elder. If you could open your Bible, or later if you could meditate upon 1 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 to 7 and Titus 1 5 to 9, you will see how strict inilista o binigay doon ni Paul. Because he knew yung bigat ng role na ito and what at stake sa role na ito. I encourage you, before you sleep tonight, later, try to read and ponder sa totohanan ito. Mga kapatid, knowing how difficult and weight yung task na inassign sa mga elders and how serious the question is, how serious are we in bringing them sa ating mga panalangin? How serious are we in asking them kung kamusta na sila? We see the temptation from verses 11 to 12. The temptation of unbelief. The temptation to be greed for money. The temptation to be greed or be lustful of authority. Are we constantly praying, reaching out sa ating mga elders? Are we walking and holding accountable with them? This is a reminder as well to my elders natin. Di po ba? The weight of the office na inyong inahawakan. As Christians, we have the task as well to guard yung pulpit na ito. Yung preaching ng salita ng Panginoon. We have the responsibility to guard this to be tainted with falsehood. And we should be guarding this for the sake of God and for the sake of the gospel. I know na most of us have received a helpful book for us to how to guard yung preaching ng salita ng Panginoon. Yung libro ni Thabiti, which is entitled yung What is a Healthy Church Member? Try to read that. And I know most of sa mga bagong members natin yung nabigyan ng librong ito. Try to read that and you will see yung responsibility natin in guarding how we can guard yung preaching and even yung sharing ng salita ng Panginoon. How we could discern na yung sinasabi ng mga preachers are not in line with the truth of God. In verse 14 and 15, sabi niya, it was also about this that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with the 10,000 of his holy ones to execute judgment on all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in an ungodly way and for all the things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Jude quote another Jewish tradition. This is coming from the prophecy of Enoch sa kanyang libro. And this image na binigay dito ni Enoch is a display of God's wrath or pointing to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that day, that will be a day of terror. A day of reckoning to the ungodly. Where God will display His glory by judging sinners. He will come down with 10,000s of angels to execute yung judgment na ito against sa mga ungodliness, against ungodly people, ungodly or false teachers. He will judge every sin that they have committed, including lahat ng mga kasalanan ginawa nila, lahat ng mga sinabi nila against sa kanya, those slanderous, blasphemous words. And on that day, God will send sinners eternal condemnation, where repentance on that day is no longer offered. Jude is saying that day will come. Verse 16, these are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. That on that day, it is not only the false teachers will be judged, but all those who are murmuring, grumbling against God, those who are dissatisfied with God, those who practice immorality, mga arrogante, who says that they know they do not need God, those who are false preachers, false teachers, who seek to please and tell what only people want to hear, and hold back the truth from them. God will one day judge all of this and all of them. But the thing is, tayo po ito. We grumble to God. We express our dissatisfaction to Him. We say, God, let me handle my life. Let me handle my own life and decide what am I going to do with this. Or what? How I'm going to live. Lord, I don't need you. We even come to a point that we speak falsely about Him and hold back yung truth sa iba. We too deserve to be judged, that God's glory might be displayed or might be satisfied. But thanks be to God that He saved us from the coming wrath by sending His Son our Lord Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life, an obedient life, who did not grumble, whose satisfaction is God alone, who humbly obeyed the Father, and even to the point of dying on the cross. And on the cross, He took our sins on His body. He died the death that we deserve. He was buried, and on the third day, God has raised Him from the dead. A symbol that Christ has perfectly satisfied yung wrath ng Ama. And those, this is the hope, and those who believe in Him, He will grant them salvation. What He earned from His dying and living in righteousness that He has earned will be given to those who believe in Christ. So that one day, when the judgment will come, those and everyone who applied the blood of the Lamb will not be condemned. Even including those who have fallen to wilderness who genuinely trusted Christ Jesus. But that the church is called to defend her gospel purity and unity. Let us pray. Father, help us to know more about Christ and more about Your word. But we could make a good defense sa aming pananampalataya against those who discredit ang inyong deity, ang inyong salita, ang inyong iglesia. We pray that You would give us boldness, wisdom, and how to do this, and help us to be overwhelmed and know the gospel by heart and not just by head. That we might be able to live the gospel every day, my Lord. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.